T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us right now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, writes about your Milwaukee Brewers at MLB.com and Brewers.com, and our insider here on the Wendy's Big Show, Adam McKelvey. Adam, this is fun during the offseason, being able to talk twice in 1 week, so I know you're doing great, as we are as well. But more importantly, the Milwaukee Brewers, just 4 players under contract for the 2020 season at this exact moment. Can you run through really quickly for everybody what they did yesterday?
Yeah, well, it was a busy day for a Monday in November, wasn't it? They traded Chase Anderson after making the determination that they were not going to pick up his club option. Traded him to the Blue Jays for a power hitter, minor league power hitter. And then I think in what was the surprise of the day, in addition to picking up Manny Pena's option, which I think we all saw coming, made a move I didn't see coming in letting go Eric Thames. It was a $7.5 million club option. I thought he would be back, given that they have issued, you know, some questions to answer at third base, questions to answer at catcher. They have needs on the pitching front. I thought first base they would sort of bring him back and look at that as one position that was largely filled. But David Stearns told us yesterday that he feels like that money, really at $6.5 million, if you take the option cost minus the buyout, they thought they could use that money elsewhere, and didn't close the door on bringing Eric Thames back. So add first base to the Brewers' list of off-season to-dos.
Okay, so let's talk about the Chase Anderson trade here. And the prospect they got back, it looks like he is all-power, 6'3 kid, double-A. Didn't have a great year last year, but prior to last year, hit for a pretty good average, had pretty good numbers, had good power numbers. I look at it and say they think maybe they got a future first baseman there in 2 or 3 years, and that's why they make that deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think, not to be a cynic about the business of baseball, but I think they look at, they cleared $8.5 million.
That's what it was more about than anything, right?
I think so. And look, you know, power is, this front office loves left-handed power. You've seen it many, many times, starting with Eric Thames, really, bringing him back from Korea a number of years ago. Travis Shaw, Christian Yelich having a big power explosion. If this kid turns out to be anything like any of those players, you got yourself a good deal. But you're gambling on the raw power a little bit. And look, in the Brewers minor league system, even there's no big shot first baseman down there. There's a couple of guys who played third, in Jake Gatewood and Lucas Ercik, who are still pretty good prospects, and they played some first and third, but there's not like an obvious guy that's coming that you're going to plug in there for Eric Thames. So you save some money with Chase Anderson going off the books, and you gamble on a guy that has a tool that you can't teach in just tremendous raw power.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, writes for Brewers.com, MLB.com, at Adam McKelvey on Twitter to follow all of his content throughout the offseason long, and figuring out where the Milwaukee Brewers plug some of these holes. Obviously, Travis Shaw is going to come up here on arbitration, Adam. Where do you believe he fits in? Because now he's possibly a suitor to fit 2 holes, first and third base.
Yeah, look, if he's back, that is now, I think, with the options decided and sort of the free agent class set, that's the next big question for me, is what is the outcome for Travis Shaw? The deadline to decide that is very early in December, the tender deadline. And there's a couple of Brewers players who are arbitration eligible, somewhat costly because of that, and coming off seasons that they didn't perform. And the Brewers need to decide whether they're going to, you know, stick with those players and bring them back, or they can decide to make them free agents and you know, move on. And I think Travis Shaw is in that category. I think Jimmy Nelson is an interesting guy in that category. After, you know, they have worked with him for multiple years now, coming back from this shoulder injury. There were some really promising developments late after he moved to the bullpen. But look, that's still a really big question mark, and you're talking about a not insignificant salary now for Jimmy Nelson because of what his baseline was. And I think him and Travis Shaw are going to be the two guys that are really interesting. If Shaw's back,
so
look, that's, I think that will make people roll their eyes, but this is a guy who produced pretty well. If Shaw's back, I think you could think of him as a first base option. Maybe Shaw and Ryan Braun team up as your lefty-righty at first base, and you try to figure out a longer-term solution at third. That's one possibility. Or you keep Shaw at third and try to figure something out at first. There's different ways they could attack that, and David Stern said he likes the options when he looks at the list of free agents and who might be available by a trade.
So with that being said, it looks like there's a lot of moving parts. What does this team look like come spring training? It sounds like it's going to be a little different.
Yeah, look, I think you nailed it, Gary, different. From 18 to 19, the team did not look very different at all. I mean, Yasmani Grandal was a big addition. There were, you know, every team goes through some changes in an off season, but it was pretty much the core of that team that played game 7 of the NLCS was back in spring training at the New Maryvale last year. I think next year is going to be very different. Chase Anderson said it yesterday. It's looking very different because it's the number of free agents they have and who those free agents were. It's the number of players that, you know, like Travis Shaw, maybe Orlando Arcia, who had disappointing seasons, and the team faces a kind of a crossroads. The usual turnover on the pitching staff that I think is natural for a lot of teams is happening with this team this year. So, you know, I know Yelich and Kane and Braun will be back. I know, you know, Josh Hader will be back, Junior Guerra, but I know Keston Hiura will be the second baseman. You know, you start getting not too far past that, and it's really hard to really lock anybody in to what's going to happen next season. They have a lot of questions to answer in terms of, like, just holes on the field, positions that they have to fill, which is fine. They have roster space. They now have some, you know, pretty significant payroll flexibility to go out and make moves. But then they've also got questions to answer with some of their own players, and that is going to be something that they need to really think long and hard about this offseason. And I'm talking about, you know, players like Corbin Burns and Freddie Peralta and where Brent Suter fits in. You know, what again, I said Orlando Arcia. What is your analysis of where Orlando Arcia is and what he can become as he sort of continues to grow in the game? Where does Trent Grisham fit into your mix when you start thinking about a post-Ryan Braun Brewers team? So they've got analyses to make on a lot of their own players as well this offseason. So the big picture for me is that this is much more an offseason of change for a team that really didn't have a lot last year.
What about philosophy? Do you think maybe they rethink and have maybe decided to change philosophy as far as the whole bullpenning philosophy? And maybe get aggressive and go out and get one or two starting pitchers that are veterans to put into this rotation with Woodruff and not have to worry about the question marks of a Burns and Peralta like you were talking about?
Well, look, I think that my answer to will they go out and get some veteran pitching, my answer is yes, I think they will. But I don't know that changes the overall philosophy, being a team that is more on the all-hands-on-deck side of things compared to a team that has Cole, Verlander, Greinke, and, you know, rides their starting pitcher the whole way. I don't believe, and I think I said this to you guys when we talked last week, I don't believe that just because this World Series was a matchup of two fantastic, high-powered starting rotations, that all of a sudden 28 other teams are going to, you know, mimic that. I don't think you can mimic that because those players that those teams have are in such short supply. And a team like the Brewers, they can go out and get, you know, look, Jolys Chacín, 2018 Jolys Chacín was a good example of a sort of mid-tier free agent pickup that paid off in a tremendous way for that Brewers team. Now, it didn't work in year two. So I think it's more likely they continue to sort of target moves like that because I just don't think that a team that payroll is going to be, you know, maybe 130 and that's pushing it, is all of a sudden going to sign a pitcher for $200 million.
Well, you know,
I don't see how those two things work.
That's the other thing. Nobody thought their payroll was going to be that high last year, right? Nobody saw that coming. And now you look at this year and you go, well, we still don't know what the payroll is going to be. They're going to have a new logo by all rumors out there of some sort. So they're going to get a bump on apparel sales and everything else that maybe they project into. Maybe they can go a little bit higher than they were last year. I have no idea. My other question is that closer. And you, Adam McKelvey, are you sitting here feeling good about Corey Knebel or Josh Hader in that closer role, or are you wanting somebody else in that closer role?
No, I would guess it's a combination of those two. You know, look, Josh Hader was a National League Reliever of the Year, and I feel like there's consternation about Josh Hader in Milwaukee and in 29 other cities. Every baseball fan sits there and looks at Josh Hader and says, my God, I wish he was on my team.
Mm-hmm.
So it's you know, you always have a different view of the players who are right in front of you that you were watching 162-plus times a year. So I think, you know, assuming, you know, look, Corey Knebel is going to have some hurdles to clear before they get to spring training. You hope he comes back. There's a good track record now of players, pitchers coming back from Tommy John surgery. So you hope that he comes back and is a force again. And if you have those two guys at the back end and you have Junior Guerra, and now you have, you know, maybe Burns, Peralta, Brent Suter, if they keep him in the pen, they've got pieces there to have the makings of a good bullpen and have a bullpen with guys that can work multiple innings, which gives Craig Counsell the flexibility to, again, be aggressive in making moves with the starting pitcher. And look, I think Chase Anderson is a good example of this. Chase Anderson said yesterday on the phone with us, and he's right. You look at his numbers in 4 years in a Brewers uniform, he has nothing to be ashamed of.
Mm-mm.
He performed, I mean, he did his job for this Brewers team for 4 years. And 1 year he gave up a lot of home runs, sure. This year his ERA ticked up. But there were a lot of games where they sort of maximized his ability twice through the order and then went to the pen. And it doesn't look pretty. It sometimes is frustrating to watch because the games drag. But it worked for this Brewers team. And 2 years in a row now it's gotten to them to the postseason. And 3 years in a row it's gotten them, you know, in the conversation in the final weekend of the regular season.
But
so
does it,
I don't know that that's going to be totally abandoned now.
But does it – why would they trade him, though? I mean, I it was puzzling to me. Maybe you baseball folks know more about it than I do, but I just don't know you got enough back from him with the production that he gave you.
Well, again –
I mean, maybe.
It's all about value for those dollars. And in the analysis of David Stearns and the army of, you know, really smart people around him, they feel like that those dollars, your $15 million between Anderson and Thames, can be reallocated in a way that has a bigger impact on wins and losses. And that's really what it came down to. So, you know, look. We'll see. We don't have the information yet to see what they do with those dollars and the rest of the flexibility that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, at the very top, you know, there's four players signed right now for something like $46 million. Braun, Yelich, Kane, and Manny Pena. There's a lot of arbitration guys still to figure out, and they're going to eat up a good portion of payroll. Josh Hader is going to get a big payday. Corey Knebel, there's other guys on that list that are going to get paid. So that number is going to go up. But they do have some room to, you know, make some moves, to be players not just in free agency, but to be on the other side of a Chase Anderson-type trade where there's a team with a player that's up there in salary. As we get closer to this non-tender deadline, there's going to be movement with a lot of those players. And perhaps they have their eye on a couple of corner infielders, for example, that have – $5 million salaries, to just throw a number out there, that they can pick up. And now with you know, they've saved themselves a couple of million bucks, and they feel like they can get the same production out of this, whoever this new player is. So we just need way more information on what they do and what this team looks like going into spring training before we can figure out whether it was smart or not so smart to let those two sort of proven performers go.
Any chance that they reallocate that money into an extension for the guy that finds himself a finalist once again for the MVP?
Well, here's my take. I mean, that sounds great. It would be great if it happens. I just, if you're Christian Yelich, is it in your interest to do that at this point?
Yeah, I want to get some. I want to get that upfront money, Adam, in my bank account before this work stoppage next year.
That's interesting. I would say though that on a way, way smaller scale, it's not apples to apples. But I know how that went for Jonathan Lucroy, and it didn't go very well.
Mm-hmm.
And it can mess you up. And look, it can mess you up the other way. Casey McGee and Gene Segura pass on opportunities to cash in, and in the case of Casey McGee, it hurt him. In the case of Gene Segura, it worked out just fine. So you can find examples that probably work in every which direction. The player just has to do what he thinks is the best thing to do. And I just feel like with so many years left for Christian Yelich, I'm not certain that it is necessarily in his business interest to make that move. So, you know, now I'm on tape saying that, and it just shows you that in 2 months they'll announce some kind of massive 10-year extension.
Well, I'm hoping, because Adam, I want this to be the winter of extensions, because then we can lock that one up. We can maybe buy a year out of arbitration with Josh Hader, because it appears, like you just said, he's going to command a massive payday, back-to-back reliever of the year. And also, the guy that finds himself as a finalist for manager of the year is due a contract extension as well.
Yeah, and look, where's David Stearns at in his contract? That is one of the best kept secrets in Brewers baseball circles. So,
well, they should have just paid him to become president, didn't they? Didn't they? We take care of all that crap.
But we don't exactly know what the deal is and how long he's locked up for. I guess is my point.
Life.
Well,
he's got tenure. He's like a college professor.
Life.
He's stuck with you guys for life.
Lifetime. Yeah, lifetime deal. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just like you are,
look,
Adam, right?
You know, Hader, just for 1 second on Hader, he's an interesting case because he's a Super 2 in arbitration, so his salary is going to go up. But that means he has 4 arbitration years. So if you're going to give him an extension, the way it usually works in baseball is a team, in order to commit to this extension, instead of going year to year where you're not locked into the salaries, you're going to want to buy out at least a year of free agency. So you're talking about a 5-year deal. Doesn't a 5-year deal, isn't there, how do I put it? I think there's a case to be made that a 5-year deal makes some people nervous for a pitcher like Josh Hader, who's max effort, long and lean, and just, you know, throws the hell out of the ball. So if that's the risk you're willing to take, maybe that is one that makes sense, and it's certainly something that they could look at. But, you know, there's risk involved in signing extensions, too, and they sound really great when you're talking about the reliever of the year, the MVP, and you sign a guy in his absolute prime. But just remember that at the back end of that deal, there's probably going to be some pain. That happens with almost every contract. There's risk involved for both sides. And, again, that's why I'm just a little bit skeptical that now is the time to dive into that with those guys.
Well, and it's not my money, and I can't even fathom what $20 sounds like, let alone $20 million a year. So we'll figure out exactly how it goes. And Adam, appreciate all the work you do and keeping us updated on it. And we'll also see you out at the toy drive coming up here at the start of next month. Long way to go. We'll talk before that. All right.
Well, look, I already talked with Spark, and we got a date circle. So we are planning ahead. And I am going to go in and buy so many candy raisins because Farmers, they have the best candy raisins there, and I'm going to bring you guys some.
Oh, that is there a man go. Right
More
there.
More importantly, last year we said we were melting candy out there, and we never did.
We'll have to get a hot plate. And
hot plate.
I've got a month to get a hot plate.
Skittles the other day. It was delicious.
Oh, man. I'm doing that. I love Skittles.
This guy is just a wild man. He's Adam McKelvey, MLB.com and Brewers.com, at Adam McKelvey on Twitter. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
Bye, guys.
That's Adam McKelvey joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We could have gotten Adam McKelvey's high school football thoughts. His alma mater still finding their way in the playoff hunt over there at New Berlin Eisenhower.
Oh.
Still fighting on Lions, sadly.
The Mighty Lions.
The Whitnall Falcons were not as successful.
You guys took a loss that you shouldn't have taken at home.
At home, yeah.
It's the Milwaukee Pirates.
Hey, conference champions, though, so
yeah.
We'll keep that.
Hang up that banner, bro.
We'll hang that banner, damn right. And we'll put the picture up. It'll go right next to that 2016. Woodland Conference title picture.
He just winked at me and made some noise with his mouth.
Yeah.
It's very, all very weird. Did you get that from Biff?
Where you see a number 74 sitting right there in the middle.
Big old 74 sitting
there? Oh, yeah. Big old shoulder pads.
Is it in a gym? Or
right when you walk in, Gary, right there by the gym, you just go on the whole line of pictures. Right on there.
Big 74.
Mm-hmm. Found our way on there. I'm also on there in a Falcon outfit, but we won't talk about that.
I think they should bring you back to do like a rah-rah speech before a game like Mesquico does with Gary.
Oh, yeah.
Or like Drew Brees did over at Purdue. See Drew Brees over the weekend?
No.
You missed the Drew Brees speech?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, just awesome.
To the Boilermakers?
To the Boilermakers.
Oh.
Hey, he goes every single position group.
Oh, geez.
Has a plan of action for everybody.
Well, perfect. You can just steal that then and use that.
Right. No, that's what I would do. I would just have an earpiece in
just
it. And I would
rattle
it off like that.
Yeah.
Kind of like I was trying to do with the Canadian national anthem tomorrow at the Admirals game, but they declined and wanted to go with somebody else.
Have you ever sung the national anthem?
Still haven't been able to.
Oh, that has to happen.
That's what I'm saying.
Dude, there's a
Who
bunch
do I need
of...
to talk to? Harris Tour or not?
Oh, Harris Tour is really
all
at the top.
Into it. He's down with it. And,
why?
And
you got
like,
a bunch of kids there tomorrow morning at 10:30, right? It's a kids game? Right.
They don't know if I'd be off tune.
They're not going to be listening to you anyhow. They'll be talking and giggling and laughing.
It's good practice.
Look at that guy in that Barney costume singing the national anthem.
So
hey, check it out. Harry's Razors. Harry's Razors. This is what we're talking about right now. Get a nice, clean shave. Humans have been shaving for over 5,000 years. That's a long time. From flint tools to shark teeth, they're the first copper razor we always knew they'd grade shave. Comes down to the simple things. Sharp, durable blades. Everybody's got to have them at this point, right? I have it with Harry's razor, and it is a must-have. Nice, close shave. I swear to God, I think I get done shaving quicker than anybody else with one of their razors because the blades are so sharp with Harry's razors. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping. Just use the word Sparky at Harry's.com. Harry's is a return to the essential. Quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade. And they're a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making some of the best razor blades in the world for 99 years. And no risk. If you don't love your shave, and everybody does, including myself, just let them know and you'll get a full refund. Harry's has an amazing offer for listeners of The Big Show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code SPARKY at harrys.com. That means you can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover all for just $3, plus free shipping when you use code SPARKY at harrys.com. Go to harrys.com today. Use code SPARKY at checkout to claim your offer.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.